Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. We've got a wonderful guest for Social Month. We're loving Social Month. Really interesting month. We have an expert today. We have Gil Petersill on the line. How you doing, Gil?
Hey. Happy to be with you, Jordan.
Fantastic. Really excited about what you're doing, working with your networking masterminds, your strategic networking masterminds. You're working with Mindvalley. Can you give a little bit of background on your professional history when it comes to, you know, just the social life in general, the social world, and then in general, and then eventually what became your strategic networking mastermind?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, my world, I think, similar to the others around, have been a roller coaster full of successful failures. I have lived in quite a few different countries in my life. And because I have been somehow sometimes forced to move when I was younger as a kid, I moved from Israel to Canada, and then I continued the journey basically based on invitations and business opportunities from Canada. I moved to England, and from England I moved to Russia, and now I live in Singapore. Because of all these aspects, and because I've never really been good in school, so entrepreneurship kind of became a part of the nature. I was forced in a way to become an entrepreneur. The social aspect of my life has always been important, because coming into a new country or starting a new business, I had to find very quick access to the right people. I'd have to surround myself with the right people to get the answers. Instead of taking, for example, when I moved to Russia, instead of taking 6 months to open my first retail shop, the second retail shop took 2 weeks because I had those right connections. And for many years now, I've been very, very passionate about sharing with the rest of the world what has really worked out for me as an entrepreneur. In order to set up more than 20 different companies around the world, I understood that the key factor that has always been that supporting, that backbone to my success, has been being able to build a network of people and being able to surround myself with people who are interested in serving the community, who are interested in helping each other. And that has really been something that I've been passionately teaching both at universities. I've been working with governments and corporations and thousands of entrepreneurs, showing them how networking can be strategic. Networking can be a lot of fun. And as long as it's authentic and it's coming from the heart, networking can be very, very rewarding.
Well, let's stop there for a moment and kind of dig in on that. Do you think that there's some misconceptions about networking, where some people can say, oh, if this person's talking about networking, he's a schmoozer maybe, or something like that? It doesn't have to be that way, like you're saying.
Oh my goodness. 100%, Jordan. And you know that you've been invited to those networking events where everyone is talking too loudly and there's too much alcohol around and the music is too loud and everyone's just trying to pass business cards to each other. This is what happened to networking events. They've received a kind of almost like a bad
stigma,
bad feeling to them. Yeah, today saying I'm organizing a networking event, most people say I'm not interested in coming because I don't want everyone to sell me something.
Right.
However, if you think about the depth of human networking and how it could connect to human frequencies, how we feel each other without words and trusting our intuition and having this sixth sense to the people in our lives, there's a lot of deep knowledge and scientific proof on how important networking truly is. And for some strange reason, networking is not something that is taught in schools. Today, at schools, high schools, universities, we don't actually learn how to manage relationships, build relationships. We don't even learn how to communicate with people. So today, a lot of the stigmas and the limiting beliefs and the fears that people have connected to networking is, do I know how to start conversations? Do I know how to speak to high-level people? You know, how do I build a relationship or add value to a billionaire? How do I end the conversation if someone is just blah, blah, blahing? Can I end the conversation respectfully? Right. And these are the sort of questions that, you know, I covered all of these in my book that's called The New Code of Networking, because I believe that due to social media and due to the lack of education about networking, the last couple of generations have been kind of screwed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't believe that we're really building relationships in the most effective manner that would actually is truly helpful for ourselves.
100%, especially in modern society, which is ever changing. And I want to take a second to kind of crap on the public school system a little bit. We do it a lot on the Lifebook podcast. And I know Vishen is a big proponent of tearing down old educational systems. So I'll take a moment here. I was thinking about this, and you can tell me what you think about my thoughts. I was thinking about public school and what they kind of espouse. And we all know that, especially here in America, they failed greatly. They don't teach us anything about money. They don't teach us anything about character. They don't teach us anything about social skills, you know, anything about love. Mm-hmm. These are all the most important mm-hmm. things when you get out mm-hmm. of school. But one thing I always said was, well, if my daughter wants to go to public school, there's some things you can learn. You go there, you learn to be around you learn to be around your peers, whether or not you really enjoy their company. You learn to get along with them. You know, maybe you run into some hardship with some peers. That's good to build up, you know, to build up stuff. I thought to myself, at least school, public school, teaches kids how to behave around people they might not want to be around, but they're forced to be around in a work situation. I was thinking that that was a positive, but upon further reflection, I was like, well, then again, I mean, that can be useful in some certain situations, especially if you're working under an employer who puts you in those situations. But I was looking at my own life. That's a horrible strategy. I don't hang out with anyone I don't want to as an adult. I don't work with anyone I don't want to as an adult. It's not about finding yourself in relationships and then working within that framework. It's about choosing the right relationships, cutting out the people you don't want in your life. You don't need these people in your life if they're negative. So I kind of was looking at the few positive remaining positive benefits of public school and thinking, do we even really need those types of skills? Things like getting along with others your age. Is that really even useful when as an adult, you're going to be picking those who you hang around with?
So I think there's a couple of points that you made here that I know I feel very comfortable to speak about for hours. So first of all, when it comes to schools, over the last 6 years, I have been really privileged and I've been honored to be invited as a visiting professor to many universities around the world. I've spoken in front of tens of thousands of high school students and, you know, at all ages, specifically those who are about to graduate high school, because that was very interesting, asking a very simple question. Do you have the right connections to get a job after high school? Or are you forced to go to university?
Wow.
Because I went through a very difficult childhood, Jordan. I was never a really good student. You know, when I moved to Canada at the age of 10, I didn't speak English or French. I was thrown into a special school where I was in school for many, many months, not having the same language as any of the other students.
Whoa.
Imagine being 10 years old, not being able to speak to anyone in the class and being forced to learn a brand new language. So for me, I remember those times. And I think because of that language challenges, and also because the doctors told my parents that I had severe dyslexia and ADHD, they basically said, listen, he's probably not going to do well in school, and he might have a very difficult time in life. And what actually happened to me, as I see today, is a gift.
Yeah,
I ended up failing out of 3 high schools.
Mm.
And I ended up only passing the 3rd one because I was really good at cheating from people that were sitting next to me. So basically, I understood that I was extremely resourceful, and I hustled through high school. Sure. I found a way to succeed. And I understood that going through high school to high school actually helped me out a lot, because today I'm extremely different to most of the friends I made in high school. And the biggest difference is this. Most of them, and I'm talking about 90%, are still friends with the same people they were friends in high school. Mm-hmm. They live in the same neighborhood. They meet each other's families regularly, which is really good. And I believe that for many people in society, they need to live in that box. But looking at myself, I have made friends through life. I have made friends that I wanted. I have made friends that were great people that inspired me and believed in me, not friends that looked down upon me or friends that had to compare themselves to me. And what happened to me is that I don't actually have those friends from high school. I don't have that one group of friends around me that's been around for 20 years. And I think that maybe is good for others. But what I see today that it should be and must be done for kids should be placed in positions where they need to learn how to make new connections.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be moved from class to class. They need to be moved from school to school, which is why I really love what Mind Valley does, because in Mind Valley, you have this incredible group of people that you can meet both online and offline at events. So you're making friends through your personal growth journey. And this is really important, because kids today, the best thing they will get out of school is the network of people around them. they do get some education, but we all know that pretty much everything we studied in high school or in sometimes even in university is completely irrelevant to what we're doing today.
Right. As far as our day-to-day earning a living and things like that, you're 100% right.
Yeah. I really think with most of society today, what they studied in school is not connected anyway to what they're actually doing in life. Because what you studied in school is not necessarily to what the job that you love today gives you.
100%. Yeah. And I think that there are just some subjects that school is shy to touch. But it's really interesting what you said. When you are set up in that kind of stick to your peer mentality, sometimes people stay there for their whole lives. The people I'm hanging out with now resemble nothing like the people I was hanging out with 10 years ago, and I wouldn't have it any other way.
I think that people should constantly do what I call a networking audit. It's one of the most difficult, I believe, exercises to run on the people who you would call friends and family. A networking audit for me is something that I believe people should run at least once a year. You said, Jordan, the people who you're friends with today are not the people you were friends with 10 years ago. I actually believe that if you look at real friendships, some of them are not supposed to last a lifetime.
100%.
Some of them are supposed to just last. They're supposed to last that journey, that chapter of your life. And then maybe you move on or they move on. Or maybe they shouldn't be there because there's so many billions of people in the world. Why should we be placed in a position where this is our friends and that's it? Why can we not expand above that?
Totally.
And when I speak about networking audits, what I tell people is simple. And you know, your audience can do this as well. You take your name, you put it on a piece of paper, you put a little circle around your name. And you put the number 7 around that circle. And then you put 2 more circles around that circle. So you basically have 3 different circles. The first one has 7, the smallest one. The larger one has 12 to 15 people. And the third one has 100. Now, in the world of an influencer like myself, and maybe yourself as well, and others who might be listening, they could have 4, 5, or even 6 circles, you know, getting into hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. But in the first circle, if you think about the 7 most important people in your life today, who are the most people who are influencing you the most? And this becomes really important to life because people start writing this list of people down by looking at who they call and who they text and who they see the most, you know, in proximity. And the questions that people need to ask themselves, do these people inspire me every time I see them? Do these people do things that motivate me? Do these people believe in who I am and who I want to become? And even more importantly, when it comes to business, are these people earning more than I am? Because sometimes you might be an entrepreneur who's maybe stuck in a level of earning, and you might be in a position where like, wow, why can I not earn more? The easiest way to search is to see the people around you. If people around you are not earning much, much more, then you will probably not end up earning more. And what I constantly tell people, you know, as a coach, I work a lot with individuals. I'm like, if you want to fix yourself and grow yourself, you can start by understanding what you want to develop in yourself. But it's actually not just yourself that you need to change. You need to sometimes change the people around you. And that's the easiest and fastest way to achieve seismic shifts in life and in business.
So true. Absolutely true. Before we dive deeper here into strategic networking and social life, can you talk a little bit about your mastermind and what brought it to life?
Sure. So about 5 years ago, I was in a position where I was a little bit lost with the sort of products I wanted to launch next. You know, I've launched a lot of products on supporting speakers to get on stages internationally and then getting books out there. I've done masterminds on getting, you know, businesses to scale up in multiple different countries without having the languages. And of course, I've done a lot on just building the right sort of network around you. So if you want to move to a country, if, you know, you want to move countries with your family, or you want to change industries, you're now in the fashion industry and you want to go into the medical industry, the first thing you need to do is get connections in that industry or in that country. And what I understood that I found it difficult to just train people one-on-one or do large-scale events. And I started to do a lot of research on mastermind. And I looked at the masterminds around the world and I started to join different masterminds. And because I have a very close relationship with someone like Tony Robbins, I've been working very closely with him for the last few years. And I've done many events with Jay Abraham closely together. I started understanding what kind of mastermind do they have? And then I started to understand that there is something missing in masterminds, which is really the the science and the format and the systemization of how people actually interact. And what I've noticed that most masterminds in the world is actually a group of people that get together and they do random networking. And then one person speaks more than everyone else, which is usually maybe the leader of the mastermind or the most extroverted person in the room. And when I looked at myself, I realized that that was actually one of my biggest problems, that I used to be an introvert my whole life. In my mid-20s, I really needed to switch. I needed to find a girlfriend because I was single and I very simply wanted to have some sex.
Well, that's a good motivator for a 20-something-year-old man.
Exactly. Thank you very much. I'm being honest here. And the other one is my parents got a divorce and I needed to help my mom financially. And my job didn't allow me to make more money. So basically, I had to rewire myself on how do I step out of my shell so that I can connect with more people. And I went to the extreme opposite. I went to the opposite of the guy who spoke too much at meetings and who spoke too much at events. So I created a mastermind that limited the amount of speaking that I do. I started creating masterminds where I spoke only as much as every other person in the room. So it was a discipline to get me to shut up. It helped me to learn to listen to people and helped me to understand that silence moments are okay. So I've been refining and refining these masterminds, which I've done quite a few times with different people around the world. And recently, we did a very successful one with Mindvalley, which they mentioned to me was the most successful event they've ever had from a scoring point of view. And I was really happy that I was able to bring this system to people that maybe joined these events and maybe because they're an introvert or they're shy, they didn't get a chance to express themselves. They didn't get a chance to become the star at that event.
Very interesting. And I like that, kind of bringing that mathematical structure to it and a kind of just an optimized structure to what, you're right, can oftentimes be kind of a free-for-all, right, at these networking events.
It, you know, because I went from being an introvert to owning an events company, in the last 10 years, I've organized over 1,000 events around the world. I've spoken about 400 events myself. I've been invited speaker. And I realized that when people say networking break or networking lunch, it's truly a free-for-all. People just randomly scatter around. And it's in most cases, it's extremely, it's not constructive.
It's inefficient.
It's not effective.
Yeah.
It's people are usually people talking to people they know. And there's so much details.
Totally.
To actually connect with another human being. And if, you know, I started creating what's called sharing sessions and all these micro masterminds where I would show up to someone's event and I would completely crash a table. I would just join someone's table and say, guys, would you like to play a little game for the next 6 minutes? And most people would say yes. Mm-hmm. And I'd give them a mini mastermind solution. And I would blow people's mind how in 6 minutes, I completely took over a table of people that were talking randomly before I showed up. For 6 minutes, I gave them a structure that suddenly bonded them in a very deep manner. So that when I got up and left, people are like, who the hell was that? And what just happened? That was like, what just happened? And I've been enjoying that so much in the last few years, just basically crashing parties, showing up at dinners. And now, of course, I'm being invited to, like, you know, 2 weeks ago, a billionaire friend of mine said, Gil, can you help us facilitate a mastermind? I have 12 billionaires showing up at my house. What could we do with them? And instead of them ordering food in and having catering, I said, I'm going to go shopping. And I'm going to run a cooking class with you guys. So all you billionaires who have not cooked for many, many years, whoa, you're all going to be cooking together.
Nice.
And that was one of the most rewarding dinners. The feedback that I've received, that they loved it. They went back to basics, to connecting with each other. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money I have. We're just cooking for each other. We're serving each other. And
wow,
the way I created that structure, they had to share. They have to talk, not show off.
That's really cool. I'm loving it. Anyone who's interested in more, gilpetersill.com, GILPETERSIL.com.
And to make sure to look at the English website, not the other one, because I have an English one and a Russian one.
Ah, that's right. Up at the top right, you can switch languages to your preferred language.
Yeah.
Very interesting stuff, man.
Or connect with me on LinkedIn, which is always fun.
LinkedIn, coming on strong. Everybody's on LinkedIn. I love it, man. Very interesting stuff. I can't wait to see you speak in person. But for now, let's dive into some strategies. Let's dig into that golden brain of yours and get some tools out of there. What types of people should we be looking for when we're networking? What traits, what attributes, you know, what character traits should we look for in those people?
Wow, what a beautiful question that is, Jordan. Truly beautiful, because beauty is really in the eye of the beholder. So every single person would have their own goals. And what I would say people should start with, before you walk into an event, any event, a birthday party, a conference, a seminar, training, anything, ask yourself this: if I could meet someone amazing right now, who would that person be? Who would I like to meet right now? Because in life, we move forward in life, we achieve goals in life, we succeed in life because of the people that we interact with. So if you had to put an intention on who do I want to meet before walking into an event, that's first of all a good step. So I believe that people should start networking before they actually network. So start with the intention. Start with what are my goals for walking into this event? Very powerful networking trait. The second thing you can also do if you choose to before the event is do some research. Hey, who's going to be attending this event? Hey, who are the speakers? Who are the organizers? Can I meet up with the speakers? Can I do some research about the speaker and find out who they are so that when I do get a chance to meet with them, I know exactly what they want to talk about? So it's not about just looking at who you want to talk to at an event. It's also deciding in advance. For example, a year ago when I heard that Richard Branson is going to be in the same city as me, and he's going to be speaking at an event, I made sure to get myself invited. And I even got myself listed as a speaker for one main reason. I wanted to be in backstage and that way I can actually meet with Richard Branson in the green room. Now, when I walked into that green room, for me, he was one of the people I had to meet with at that event. But I did my research. I found out what was important for Richard at that moment. What pain did he have? What was interesting for him? What sort of goals did he have by coming into the Russian market himself? And when I found that window of opportunity within a few minutes of walking in that room, I was able to ask Richard a question that right away opened up his eyes. It was clear to him that I was able to connect. It was clear to everyone in the room that I knew what Richard wanted to talk about. So when walking into an event, you can walk in confidently because I did my research. I know about the event. I know about the audience. I know about the speaker. And I love walking into an event like I own it. So you're walking into an event with confidence. That's, first of all, very, very important to anyone out there. Even if you fake confidence, you can fake confidence by doing a lot of research, by really understanding who you can connect with. You can fake confidence by agreeing to meet two or three people at the event. Not necessarily new old friends, but you can agree to meet two, three new people. So you're showing up at the event knowing that there is someone there waiting for you. Because, you know, walking into an event with a few hundred strangers could be daunting for many people. And I'm speaking about myself a few years back. It was a nightmare for me. Now, when looking at the event, looking at the people around, I believe there should be a strategy. And this is where strategic networking comes in. Some people think that strategic networking is using people or influencing people in a negative way. It's not. It's putting yourself in a more comfortable position where you have a higher chances of success when connecting with people, building relationships, building rapport, whatever it is that you're trying to do. But building relationships requires effort and strategy. So when I'm looking around the room, I'm always looking for either one person or three people to walk up to. Why? Two people talking is not a good group to walk into because they might be having a very intimate, very confidential conversation. Walking up to one person is perfect. They're alone. You could start a conversation with them very easily, especially if they're on their phone. They really don't want to be on their phone. They want to be talking to someone, but maybe they're shy. So you could be the hero for them. Walking up to three people is a beautiful way to complete the circle. If you look at three people standing in the room on an average event, they will always have a space open for a fourth person to step in. So I'm always looking for people who are engaged. So if you see three people who are like half drunk and, you know, not really talking, you know, just kind of, you could see body movement. Their body is moving very aggressively, maybe. I wouldn't walk up to people like that. If you see a group of three people laughing and you could see loving kind of gestures from each other, maybe some movements where they touch each other's shoulders, you could see that there's a warm connection. To me, that's a very easy group to walk into. If you see someone talking on their phone, one person talking on their phone, very, very aggressively not happy, I would make sure to not walk up to that person that evening because maybe they've had a really bad day. And me walking up to them might not necessarily be the greatest thing for me right now.
Right.
Because sometimes, you know, you might start a conversation with someone at an event and they're just giving you all kinds of shit and they're just complaining about the traffic and about the government and they're just complaining to you. So I make sure to avoid such people by looking at body language of people at the event. Mm-hmm. Personally, myself, I love walking up to speakers at any event. Anyone who has spoken on stage, I love walking up to them and just saying thank you. Thank you for inspiring us. Thank you for making me think outside of the box. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for your time. Just thank them. And if you're ready, ask them a question. Do you mind if I ask you a really quick question that would potentially help me to change a strategy in my business? And boom, suddenly you have the attention of a speaker that everybody wants his attention as well. And that could develop into a conversation. It could also develop into a relationship. Mm-hmm. I also believe in always walking up to the organizers. Depending on what size event it is, it doesn't really matter in my case. I love walking up to the organizers early on in the event just to say thank you, to tell them this is a really wonderful event, compliment them, tell them that you appreciate what's being done here, you appreciate you being there, and maybe even saying something like, by the way, you know, if you need any help this evening, maybe it's a small event, or if you need any support in future events, let me know. I'd love to somehow play a role and support you in doing things like this. Now, of course, this is not relevant for everyone in every case, but you all know, everyone who's listening know that you've showed up at a friend's birthday party who was completely overwhelmed at organizing the party. Or you showed up in some networking event where the organizer was like a superstar who knew everyone at the event. Imagine if a superstar who knows everyone at the event gets to know you as well. And you just quickly tell them that you appreciate what they're doing. You're offering your help for future events. And tell them, by the way, I'm really hoping to meet a marketing director for my company. If you know someone here this evening, I'd really appreciate an introduction. So suddenly the most well-connected person at the event knows you and knows what you are hoping to meet that evening.
I like that. And I also like offering help. Is there a constant balance between giving and asking when it comes to relationships in business and life? At a marketing event, you know, everyone's kind of in the same boat, but in any situation, a lot of relationships are about give to ask ratio, right? Like you got to provide value while asking for something in return. Otherwise, the relationship isn't fair.
I think this is the $1 billion question, Jordan. And I'll tell you the way I do it in my life. I've been hurt many, many times in life. People have taken advantage of me. People have stolen from me. And I think this comes with life. I don't think a human being can avoid being led down by relationships. Mm-hmm. I think that as we grow older, we become wiser and we also develop our intuition for people. And I've been able to develop a very strong intuition for people. When it comes to the give and take ratio, I'm a believer that the universe is watching us. I believe in giving. And I believe that I will give relationships to people that I believe in. If I believe in you as a human being, if I believe you're doing great things, you're serving the world, I'm inspired by your project, I would be so happy to serve you and serve you and serve you, of course, with limitations just because the amount of energy and time that I have in the day is limited. I only have 24 hours in the day. But I have so many people in my network of people who I've constantly helped with in life, and I have never kept counts on if they've helped me back or not. Mm-hmm. I think that this is maybe me today as someone who considers myself, you know, as a professional networker. Not that I know how to walk the room and connect with everyone, but I know how to trust my intuition as to who I will give my time to and who I will support with. And I love meeting outstanding people. One of my greatest passions and missions in life is to help the most outstanding people in the world and be able to learn from them along the way and maybe even connect them with other people. Mm-hmm. So what I would do if I was, you know, new at networking, or maybe one of your listeners is like, well, if I want to build a new network because I want to move to a new country or I want to change industries, how do I get things started? How do I build those relationships? I would say give, 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 and then ask for advice. Mm-hmm. Don't ask for help. Ask for advice. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're a giver, it's okay to give. And if look at nature, for example, You know, if you look at nature, you can plant a beautiful plant in your house that maybe will yield some tomatoes or some peppers. You can't water it for 3-4 days and say, hey, where's the tomatoes? Come on, let's go now. I want to see results now. You can't do that. It's the same thing with an apple tree. You can't grow an apple tree and wait for 2 months and say, well, I want some apple juice. Come on.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. I believe that with humans, it's the same thing. I believe that if you see value in someone, if you believe they are a good person, they are doing great things in the world, they are inspiring others, they're adding value to the community, I believe it's good to add value to them. Maybe by suggesting a book to them, maybe by inviting them to an event, maybe by, you know, recommending them to another person. I believe you can add value to people who you believe add value to others. However, when you need help, when you need advice, it's really important to be able to have that kind of VIP list in your life. You know, I call them my special people. At any given point in my life, I have 120 special people in my life that I know I can ask for help. I know I can ask them for advice because I'm constantly helping them and supporting them and recommending them. And again, I'm at my level with 120. I would tell people to start with 7. Start with 7 people. 7 people who you can truly, from the bottom of your heart, just give and give and give and give, and don't keep counts on, are they giving me back?
I like that, because a lot of the times givers can keep count, and that's not quite giving. That's selling.
Because they believe in an immediate return on investment, and it doesn't matter what business you're in. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You know, if we look at life, if we look at the greatest success stories and we look at the greatest achievements in our life, it's very easy to always connect every achievement we have to another human being. But what happens in many cases, we forget about those human beings. A simple exercise I like to ask my friends and, of course, all of my clients to do is to do an audit of the top 20 or even the top 100 achievements you have. An achievement can be small or big, and you can always connect every achievement you have in life to another human being, a human being that inspired you. Maybe they pushed you to do something. Maybe they invited you to do something. Maybe they opened the door for you so you could do it. Imagine going through an exercise, or for the next 1 month, contacting every one of those people and saying thank you for something that they did for you in the past. Completely a surprise to them. They're not expecting this phone call. You call someone random and say, by the way, I just want to say thank you to you because 3 months ago, you got me to go with you to that event. And because I met someone at that event, today I have one of the biggest clients in my life. Imagine how you would feel. There's going to be so much gratitude and love coming out of you.
Yes.
And I guarantee anyone that goes through this exercise that week, they will get referrals. They will get recommendations. They will get so many more invitations to new events because people would feel love coming from them.
It's so great, man. I love this. This is powerful, powerful advice. I feel like I could talk to you for an endless amount of time. I want to talk to you about partnerships. I want to talk to you about distilling partnerships down to the base ingredients and what ingredients make a good partnership. We did these Lifebook Millionaire series where we interviewed millionaires and we were just asking a series of questions to find common themes. And one of the questions was, what was your biggest business mistake? Almost every single one was a bad partner. Almost every single biggest business mistake across the board was a bad partnership of one form or another. And a lot of the best business decisions they made were good partnerships. Not all of them, obviously, but many, many of the what's your best business move was a good partnership. So what in your mind is the key ingredients to a good partnership?
I think that's a very beautiful question to ask. And I completely agree that in a business, what make it successful or not successful is really, it's not just the partnerships, it's this people around, it's the team. It's because you can't do it alone. I don't know anyone who's been really successful on their own. So for me, what makes a good part, because I have a few partners in my businesses today. My best partner today is my wife. Her and I own a group of 7 companies. My wife is my best friend. And if any of your listeners ever need advice on how to run a successful business with a wife and have two kids and have a couple of homes and still be able to help charities and do so much and still be able to have date nights and sex nights and sharing nights, I could totally share because we've been through the difficult times. And using mastermind systemizations and methods and rules really helps us connect. Like yesterday, we went for a walk in nature for 1 hour, and it was a really structured walk. We shared with each other in a very respectful, very beautiful manner. And after 1 hour, it's almost like most couples, they need a few days to go through that amount of sharing. So I think, first of all, it's respect. You must respect your partner. This is not just in business, this is in life, because I think your life partner is even more important than a business partner, because you have a home and you have kids and you have all these mini projects that you're working on. So one, it's respect. Mm-hmm. I respect my wife very, very much. And I'm constantly working on myself to develop myself as a man, as a husband, as a father, and as a leader to even have more respect for her. I think also what's really important when it comes to partnership is to see great value in them always. So it's easy to criticize a partner. It's easy to be upset with a partner in life, which is where a lot of partnerships break apart, because suddenly we start to measure, am I doing more than this partner into this relationship? You know, hey, I'm doing more, she's doing more, he's doing more. So for me, I'm always kind of writing down for myself, like, especially if I'm upset with one of my partners or like I feel like something is not right, I'm starting with, hold on, what are the most amazing things about this people? Mm. Why do I value them so much? What have they done that has truly changed my life? Oh my God, I would not be where I am today in this business unless this person was here. Okay, so I'm not really upset with them. I'm upset with the situation, which really helps with partnerships. Is once you are able to see value in them, and once you're able to actually outline the expectations you would have from each other as a partner, what you're actually creating is a real partnership, because 1 + 1 = 3. If any of you ever see the logo of my companies, all of my companies have this little symbol that is connected to all of them. It's these three little heads. And I tell people that I'm a true believer that 1 + 1 = 3 when it comes to partnership, because together we need to make a third. We need to make a baby. We need to make a project, which means this project is bigger than either one of us. And I'm speaking, this is almost like me coaching myself, because I'm constantly trying to develop how I am as a partner to my partners, to listen to them, to be respectful to them, to allow myself to be wrong. You know, it's a saying, something that I've made this mistake many times in my life where I needed to be right. And now I'm very comfortable to be wrong. I'm very comfortable to say I'm sorry. Mm. I'm very comfortable to take my words back and say, wow, like, thank you for pushing me, because I needed that. That moment in my life, it was a weak moment of my life.
What was that transition, removing your ego and your personal pride from opinions and strategies? Is that what created that difference?
Yeah, I think it's a transition that's still happening, Jordan. I'll be very honest, you know, as someone who's constantly getting on big stages, you know, 20, 30,000 people, and I'm on covers of magazines and stuff, my ego is always, you know, kind of touched.
Look at me. I look damn good on the cover of that magazine.
it's difficult. You know, I walk into my...
It's natural.
Well, it is. But I walk into my office and I see, like, you know, in the past year, I was in 4 different covers of big magazines. And it's... I need to remember that, one, I would never have been on this cover unless I had an amazing team. Mm. 2, I would not be in this cover unless I really managed relationships with the owners of these magazines. And it helps me always come back to mastermind, because masterminding is about the collective genius, not about the individual ego. And this has really become a part of my philosophies in life, that collectively we can truly achieve genius level.
We're coming to the top of the hour here. Can you share, before we sign off, some practical high leverage strategies that my listeners can walk away with for better networking in business and in their personal life?
Of course. You know, whenever I get on stages and people ask me questions, there's always someone that says, Gil, what are the top 3 tips? What are the five tips, 10 tips, you know? And every time I keep on thinking, should I just regurgitate and say the same ones again and again because I really believe in them? Or should I actually say, what's my belief system today? At this moment that you're calling me today and we're talking today, I'll tell you what I believe today is the best practical life hacks that people can use. Number one, when you're going out there to connect with people, can you try to get into the habit of having a how can I help you mindset? Meaning, when you're meeting people, it's not about what did they do? What do I do? Can they become a customer? Can they become an investor? But it's more, can I learn from them and can I help them? Can I give them advice? Can I suggest a book? Can I recommend someone? You start to develop your curious mindset, which is, I think, a very powerful mindset to have when you're networking. And you start to be in a position where you actually don't need anything from anyone. And it puts you in a very, very powerful position. So number one, how can I help you mindset? Number two, which might sound strange to some people, it's having a complimentary attitude. What does that actually mean? Can you walk into an event? Can you walk into a boardroom? Can you walk into a date? Walk into anywhere? And can you just compliment people in your head? As in, you're walking into an event and you're looking around the room, you're not actually looking for someone you recognize. What you're actually doing is looking around and saying, wow, this is a beautiful group of people. I'm really excited about walking into this event today. I look forward to connecting with that person. Wow, she looks nice. And I love her dress. And he's got a really nice suit on. You know, I'd love to hear where he bought it. And wow, look at those guys' watches. And you start to compliment people. Wow, that person is standing with so much confidence. And wow, they're laughing. I'd love to talk to them. So you're basically walking into an event and you own the space. Because many times when people walk into an event, they feel a little bit fear of the space around them because they walked into someone else's event. Everyone else was at the event before I came in. So I feel sometimes I'm walking into their space. As soon as you compliment people, psychologically, you're actually, and neurologically, you're actually connecting with them in a very, very powerful way. And this is something I suggest to people to not just think of it, but just do. Take the next three events, walk into the event, just compliment every single person you can in your head. Walk around the event, complimenting people physically, whatever you want to compliment, whatever you want about. It's very powerful to allow yourself to not be fearful of people, because the number one fear that human beings have is the fear of public speaking or speaking publicly. And when you're complimenting someone, your brain cannot be fearful of someone who you are constantly complimenting. It's just a very, very powerful life hacks if you want to allow yourself to just feel comfortable in any environment with any people. Number three, I would say, is the importance of following up. Following up is a weakness around the world. I am not the greatest follow-upper, even though I've designed multiple systems to not allow a business card to be on my desk for more than 24 hours. I've created templates for myself to be able to follow up with people faster, because it's a shame. If you meet someone and you don't follow up with them, why did you meet them? Why did the universe put you in a place in the same time, in the same event with a person, and you ended up having a nice, friendly conversation with them for a few minutes? Why did that happen? And you don't take just that extra 2 minutes to connect with them on LinkedIn and to say, hey, Joe, it was really nice meeting you. I love that conversation. I would really appreciate following up with you in the future. I'm in a very, very, you know, maybe stressful or busy season right now. Maybe if you know any other events coming up, you can invite me to them and I'll do the same. And maybe a month later, you follow up with Joe. And this is someone who you met, you had a conversation with, but you have no immediate interest to connect again. Of course, if you have an immediate interest, you could say, wow, Maria, I really loved that conversation. I felt that we had an immediate connection. What do you think if we meet up for lunch or for coffee on Tuesday or Thursday of this week? So I really believe that following up needs to be a discipline. There are systems around it. I've actually created a whole product called follow-up strategy, like really how to turn any new connection into something else in your life, a friend, an investor, a client, something, an associate. You can, any stranger can become something in your life, in your circles of connections. So following up is something that's a discipline, whether it's on LinkedIn, it's on email, it's on text message, it's on WhatsApp, it doesn't really matter. Create those connections and don't give up if people don't respond. I remember the first time I met up Brian Tracy. I think maybe you know Brian Tracy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So Brian Tracy was like a childhood, not a childhood, but when I, as a young adult, this guy was my hero. You know, I loved the guy so much. And I remember the first time I met up with him, I was so excited that we exchanged business cards. But then he didn't respond to 5 of my emails. And I really felt bad. But, you know, I'm Gil Peterson. I don't really give up that easily, which is why I never gave up after the first email. But after the 5th email, I thought, okay, maybe I'll give him some space. And I give him space. 2 months later, I met up with him again in an event. And he walked up to me and said, Gil, I noticed your emails. I'm so sorry. Don't be upset with me. We've just gone through a whole change of management. I want to sit with you. Can we sit down together for lunch today? Let me make it up to you. So, you know, some people would take it personally when you follow up with someone and they don't respond to you. Many people will take that as a no. Don't take it as a no. Take it as a not right now. People are busy. And in this case, Brian was just going through his whole, he had his own issues in life. There's nothing to do with me. It's just he was going through changes and my email was not a priority. That's it. So when you're following up, no answer is not a no. It just means one of the other 10 reasons.
And it's nice that you didn't get a bitter taste in your mouth just to jump in there, because you could have seen him at the next event and avoided him and be like, F that guy. And then you never would have had that interaction.
Jordan, people do that.
Yeah, for sure.
People do that all the time.
They make up stories in their heads. They make up these weird narratives and subscribe to them.
And this is because of the fear of rejection. Mm. So in my life, and this is an advice I can give people, is go through the rejections. Like, you know how I did it early on in the days when I needed to start dating more? I actually went on speed dating. And do you know how many women I have gone through with speed dating? Jordan, easily 1,000 women. Easily. Because I was new in England at the time. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have any friends. And I understood that speed dating is like you have 15 women that you talk to 5 minutes each. I understood very quickly that if I mess up with the first 5 women, it's okay. Because I'm just learning how to talk to women. I have to improve the way I ask them questions, the way I listen to them. And this really developed my skills, as a rejection is not the worst thing in the world. Rejection is okay. You learn how to take rejections in business. You learn how to take rejections in life. And it actually improving the way you manage relationships. If I didn't have so many rejections in my life, I would never have been so persistent with that beautiful blonde at the bar that would not give me her phone number. But today, she's my wife.
That's wonderful. Gil, I honestly have to say, this is one of my favorite social interviews I've ever done.
Thank you.
You are a wonderful person. Not just the work you do, but you just seem like a great guy. And I could talk to you for much longer. But I want to get your final thoughts. I want to wrap up here with a poignant note. I just want you to kind of emphasize how important this stuff is. Do you think the people you choose to spend your time with, the people you choose to partner with in life and business, is that the most important thing? Can you kind of just impart on us how important this stuff is?
I think that the most important thing in life is to have harmony with whatever it is that you're doing. And I believe that harmony can be achieved by being alone. But I don't know many humans who could be alone for too long. Even monks who disappear into the mountains and caves and meditate for many years alone, they all still come out and interact with people, because they understand that we are humans. And as humans, we must build a tribe around us. We must be either a part of a community, and we could be led by someone else, or we can create our own community, and we can also choose to lead a community. I know everyone has heard about co-creation a lot. And recently from Keith Ferrazzi, I've learned about co-elevation, helping each other grow and support each other in life. I've coined the term co-connection. Co-connection is this ability to understand that just like inside our bodies, we have all these particles that are connecting together, all these cells, that if these cells didn't connect and interact with each other, we would not be able to function the way we are. And I believe that humans are the same thing. If we don't understand how to interact with nature, nature also has vibration. With animals, animals also have vibration. If we don't learn how to interact with everything that is living around us, how can we thrive? How can we find this amazing, magical ability and power that we have to grow a business, to grow a big family, or help a nation, or feed a country if you want to? We all have dreams we want to pursue. And I know that everyone who is listening today understands that the greatest power we truly have is to connect with a group of people and do something great together. You know, find that group of people that you can be inspired with, that group of people that believes in you. And if it's not working out with them, don't be afraid to change. Don't be afraid to change countries, change jobs. I know it's not, it's easier said than done, but life keeps on proving it to ourselves. You know, there's so many examples around us. There's endless amount of cases that show that the greatest companies in the world, the greatest missions in the world were done by a group of people that came together. They masterminded something, and then beautiful thing came out of it.
I love it, Gil. This really was a pleasure. You're welcome back anytime. Please let me know how I can help the cause. And I wish you the best of luck with all your speaking engagements at Mind Valley and beyond.
Thank you, Jordan. Really appreciate our time together. I love your question really, really much. You hit the nail on the head, which is important because we need to get this message to people. If I can ever serve what you guys are doing, just let me know. I love getting on calls. I'm soon going to be launching my own podcast as soon as I find the right person that would help me do that because I'm new to this. And if there's someone out there that's listening who loves being a producer for other speakers, this is my biggest need right now, finding someone who can help me get this message to even more people.
Oh, fascinating stuff. Very fascinating stuff. Gil, thank you so much. Everyone listening, gilpetersill.com. Find everything there. This is Jordan River and Gil Petersill thanking you so much for listening and for being a member. We'll see you next time on the Lifebook Member Podcast.